Good morning to you out there again this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. We're doing a series here on apostasy in the church. Last week on the broadcast, we dealt with the issue of salvation and how salvation is not being scripturally presented in our churches. And I'm going to move on into this topic of apostasy in the church. But I want to read something to you before I get started, because some of the things that I will say today may offend some folks. But if you're saved out there today, you shouldn't get angry at it. Let me read you verse 165 out of Psalm 119. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The problem that we have today is people do not love the law of God. I want to tell you this, that it's the law of God that will lead you to salvation. The law of God is referred to in our Bibles as the schoolmaster. It's that which will lead us to the fact that we're lost sinners, that we're dying and on our way to hell. The penalty for our sin is death. That's what the penalty is. And that death, of course, is an eternity in hell. And the Bible refers to that as the second death. Last week in the broadcast, I finished up by reading Titus 1, verses 15 and 16, and then I gave a few comments, and I'm going to go back and pick up there and read that scripture again. And if you would, turn to your Bibles, or if you have a Bible with you. Verse 15. But before we get started, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you save old lost sinners like me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I thank you, Lord, that I have an eternity to spend with thee, Lord. I just want to praise you for the gift of salvation, Lord. I just want to praise you because you are God. I just want to praise you for all that you're going to do and all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." We talked about men that are in pulpits today that are reprobate. That's what we talked about last time. And of course, people that are reprobate are unsaved people. We have unsaved men and women in pulpits today that don't belong there. The first issue is salvation. The second issue is that women do not belong in the pulpits of our churches. That's why I went and read Psalm 119, verse 165. Regardless of how you may feel about the issue of a woman being a pulpit, what does the Word of God say about it? The Word of God says that a woman will not stand and teach men, that a woman will not usurp authority over men in the church. If you have a problem with that, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the Word of God. It's the Word of God that sets down the requirements for it. So if you're a woman out there, you have not been called to preach. And by the way, if you're unsaved out there, you have not been called to preach. Now, I want to come back to this issue again of the men that are in our pulpits that are they're defiled and they're unbelieving, and they are abominable and disobedient, and to every work they're reprobate because their minds are defiled. And the reasons that they are defiled is that they are unsaved. You cannot put an unsaved man into a pulpit and expect him to proclaim the Word of God boldly and without compromise. We are living in an age when we have a bunch of jellyfish in pulpits, and that's not what God would have it. I'll tell you this, if God calls a man to preach the Word of God, if God calls a man to be a pastor, and I emphasize God called, that man is going to have some backbone. He's going to stand for that which is right. You cannot teach the truth of the Word of God if you don't have any backbone. Because the Bible says, in Paul's admonishment to Timothy, that he was going to have to endure some hardness. And if you're going to preach the word of God, you're going to endure some hardness. But my focus today is going to be really upon the age of apostasy. In our next sermon, we're going to deal with the preachers and the prophets and the pastors themselves a little more in depth. We're in an age today, and I closed out with this particular illustration last week, but we have a church that was called Hillsong Church that had over a 3,500 seat auditorium, and they had $10 million coming in into their offerings in a year's time. But they did not have a clue what the Spirit of God was about. This man that was a pastor of this church, by the way, not just this man, but him and his wife, Bobby, and his name was Brian Houston, were co-pastors. There's a problem there right off the bat. But he was asked why it was that he was able to draw such big crowds into his church. And his reply was this: we are scratching people where they are itching. What about that? That's an automatic problem there. And I would say that he's right, but that doesn't he doesn't seem to understand that scratching people where they itch is a sign of total apostasy. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, that to me says that there is a large degree of responsibility with the people, because it's the people that are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. You ought to be in the Word of God long enough and well enough and understand the Scriptures enough to know when a man is teaching the wrong thing or preaching the wrong thing from the pulpit. The problem we have today in our churches is that and one of the big issues that it's based upon is the Bible itself. People do not believe the Bible itself. Now, and most of the people that are around today are a bunch of apostates and heretics, and they will do anything but believe the King James Bible. They want to have absolutely nothing to do with the King James Bible. They want an effeminate Bible for their effeminate Christianity. Theirs is a money-grubbing, positive-only, self-esteem gospel that is satanic and demonic. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in it. We have so much self-esteem preached and taught from our pulpits today that it is a low-down shame that men of God would stand up and preach self-esteem. Self-esteem is not the solution to our problem. Self-esteem is the problem. We esteem ourselves higher than we do God. We want to be gods ourselves. And that was the basis of the very first temptation by Satan in the garden, was that he told Eve that as surely when they came to knowledge that they would be as gods. That's what he appealed to. And that's what man wants to do. Man wants to be their own god. They do not want to submit to the God of the Bible. 1 John 2:16 says this: for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride of life is self-esteem. You esteem yourself above others. Self-esteem is the chief cause of eternal condemnation and damnation. That's why you end up going to hell, because you want to believe what you want to believe. You want to make up the rules that you live by and not live by God's rules. You want to have it your own way. Self-esteem, by the way, is another gospel. The Apostle Paul warned in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, this is what he had to say: but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Paul feared that these Christians, or folks at the church in Corinth, would latch onto this false gospel that was being preached, and that they would be beguiled into accepting something that was not real. And he was real concerned about that. We're responsible as Christians, and it's not just a responsibility of the pastors. We're responsible as Christians to know what the Word of God teaches and to be on the lookout for it. The devil uses false doctrine to plant both sin and confusion in the church. That's what he uses it for. Paul's fear that we just talked about has been fully realized in today's church, because professing Christianity is preaching another gospel and receiving another spirit that is totally opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ and fundamental Bible-believing Christianity. We are living in a time when this other spirit, and I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about this other spirit, it's an evil spirit, the charismatic signs and wonders movement is being exalted above the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it is a false spirit because our Bibles tell us it is. John chapter 16 verses 13 and 14 say this, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Listen at this now. Listen very carefully to this. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that those were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost of God that indwells you will not exalt himself. What he will exalt is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will exalt and glorify him. If you have a spirit in you that is constantly exalting itself, if it's constantly being done, that is not of God. Because the Spirit of God uplifts and exalts and glorifies and praises the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one of the evidences of salvation, by the way. You'll be praising the Lord. You'll be thanking God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I want to let you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. That's why they call him Lord. He is given that threefold title there. And by the way, the Bible says that he is God manifest in the flesh. That's what the word Emmanuel means in the both in the book of Matthew and also over in Isaiah. In that book, great prophet over there talks about that. And Emmanuel means God with us. It's God in the flesh. And John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 talk about that God in the flesh that has come. He came in the flesh that he might save us. And if you have a spirit within you that's not exalting him, then it's a false spirit, and what it's attempting to do is to deny the glory that is due unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about something, this spirit that starts exalting itself is a false prophet. It's a false spirit. The false prophet also will promote the Antichrist. Okay? And this Antichrist is a part of the harlot church of Revelation 17. And here's some of the things that this Antichrist, this false spirit, will promote. And if you're offended at this, you have a problem with the Word of God, not with me. In today's churches, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing sodomite or homosexual same-sex unions. We're seeing sodomite church leaders and pastors. We're seeing the sodomizing and rape of children. Rock music in the church, contemporary Christian music in the church, priest in the church, the wicked mast and other sacraments, works-based salvation, Calvinism, self-esteem, worldly dress in the church, women deacons, women preachers, holy laughter, eternal insecurity, and a whole host of other false doctrines that have invaded today's church. That is not of God. That has absolutely nothing to do with God. Can God save these individuals? Yes, he can. Can he save a sodomite? Yes, he can. And he does save sodomites. But when you have a church that embraces these sort of things and says that they're okay, that it's just an alternative lifestyle, I'm here to tell you that that is a direct slap in the face of God. It is a direct contradiction and denial of the very Word of God. Now, the false prophet is also the promoter and founder of, listen to all these, of the Roman Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Greek and Russian Orthodox Churches, the Episcopal Church, the United Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, the Church of England, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Freemasonry, and the whole brothel of other harlot churches and religions. Now, I know that's hard, but when you take the doctrines that they're proclaiming today from these churches, and proclaim that they're the Word of God, That is of the devil. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll not stand up for it. The church in America is so apostate, it is unbelievable. When they'll ordain homosexuals or sodomites into the ministry, the Bible calls them sodomites, when they'll do that, they are in direct contradiction of God, and they're asking for God to do away with that church. God will judge that church that does that. That is not the church of the living God. It is the church of the Antichrist. It's a part of the harlot of Revelation chapter 17. Now let me give you a short list of the prominent compromisers and apostate and heretics and unbelievers that are caught up in this sort of thing and have been caught up in it for years. You say, well, you're not to name, you really shouldn't name names. I disagree with you. The Bible teaches that we are to name names. We're to call out people. When they go public with their false doctrine and their heresy, we are to rebuke them. We're to call them out. And that's what one of the purposes in this morning. Some of these heretics would include Mr. Self-Esteem Dream himself, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, Robert Shuler and his son, Jerry Falwell, Jack and Rex Ella Van Impey, Kenneth Hagin, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, Ann Graham Lotz, any Pope, any Catholic Cardinal, any Islamic cleric, including the Imams and the Ayatollahs, Joyce Myers, Catherine Coleman, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Kenneth Copeland, Jimmy Swaggart, Bruce Metcher, D.A. Carson, James White, Virginia Mollenkart, Martin Wooster, Kurt Allen, Carlo Martini, John MacArthur, John Piper, R.C. Sproul, Mary Baker Eddy, Ellen G. White, Desmond Tutu, Hank Handegraff, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, Charles Taz Russell, Paul and Jan Krause, Pat Robinson, Oral Roberts and his son, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Jim Wimber, Marilyn Hickey, Rodney Howard Brown, Benny Hinn, Jackie Hayford, T.D. Jakes, Charles and Francis Hunter, Vincent Sinan, John Michael Talbot, and any contemporary Christian music performer, and any so-called Christian rock music performer. You say, well, that's ugly. Well, all the people that I just called out are guilty of holding false doctrines that are in direct contradictions to the Word of God. They're out of their place. They're not in the will of God. And they're teaching for doctrines of God, damnable heresies is what they're doing. Now, how does the Bible describe this ungodly, anti-Christian mixed multitude and their doctrines? God is very strong on this. I'm glad you asked. We are warned of false prophets, false pastors, and false prophets time after time in Scripture. God has some very special instructions, admonitions, and warnings for those who would be shepherds and pastors. God also has some very specific qualifications for those who would be leaders in local New Testament churches. God also holds the people of those congregations responsible for their actions and their doctrines. I want to emphasize this, and I've said this several times in this series of messages. God's people are responsible to check out their shepherds to see how they line up with the Word of God. But the problem is we've had people in our churches, leaders in our churches that are unsaved, and they have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're not concerned with the Word of God. They're concerned with pleasing men. Isaiah chapter 30 speaks of a group of God's people like this. In verses 8 through 11, we see this. Now, go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of our way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. What a sad day that is. And look at that particular scripture that I just read. This is what the people wanted. They wanted prophets that were prophesying to them smooth things. In other words, tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what the Word of God has to say. Prophesy unto me lies and deceits. And boy, are we ever in a generation where that's happening at today. We have a bunch of liars and deceivers in the pulpits of the churches of America that are are prophets of the Antichrist, or prophets of the false prophet himself. They are ungodly, they're wicked, they're unsaved, and they do not belong in the pulpits of our churches. And take a look at what that verse 11 that I just read said. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, get the Holy Ghost out of our way. We don't want to listen to anything he's got to say. That's where we're at. Get him out of the way. We don't want to have him convicting us. Just move him out. He makes us uncomfortable. We don't want to hear you preaching about our sin. We don't want to hear you preaching about false doctrine. That makes us uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you that any man of God is going to stand to you, in front of you, is going to proclaim to you the truth of the Word of God if he's a man of God. Otherwise, he won't do that. He's a hireling, and the Bible preaches and teaches against hirelings also. Now, Isaiah chapter 30, where I just read, is a very stern warning to any people that would reject the Word of God and seek for themselves false prophets that will tell them what they want to hear. Now, there's scripture, and I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture here because I want you to get what the Word of God has to say about these issues. The scripture in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3, and 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, in the New Testament describe a time which will abound with false doctrine when Christians will heap to themselves teachers that have itching ears. And I'm going to read that to you. I want you to listen to this, what the Bible has to say about our times. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. If that's not a mark of our time right there, a perfect description of our time, I don't know what is. We have given heed to seducing spirits. We'll believe anything but the Spirit of God. We'll be led of anything but the Spirit of God. Because if we're going to be led of the Spirit of God, we're going to have to make some decisions that we're going to stand, that we're going to fight the good fight of faith is what we're going to do. That we're going to, the Bible calls it, says, quit ye like men. In other words, you're going to stand up. And you're going to fight these doctrines of devils and these seducing spirits. And if our world is so full of hypocrisy now. We have men that are standing in the pulpits that are claiming they're Christians and they won't preach the Word of God, and they'll go out and they're in open sin and stuff like that. And that is the height of hypocrisy, to say that you're a Christian, to say that you're something that you aren't, to say that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go out and live like the devil, and then go into a pulpit and preach the Word of God, or go in and preach your what you want to preach out of the Word of God instead of what God, the Holy Ghost, would have you to preach. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Look at that, will you? All that big long list, that's a terrible list, isn't it? And that exactly it describes where we're at. Verse 5 goes on to say, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of, and here is our admonishment. If you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, if you're a Christian that sits in the pew, we are to turn away from such. We're to turn away. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And you know what it means to have a form of godliness? What it means to have a form of godliness is that you say that you're saved. You practice all the rituals of the church. You go in, you preach, you go in, you sit on the pew, you listen to the preaching, you teach a Sunday school class, you're a deacon, you play music, you play the piano, the guitar, you do all sorts of things in the church, but you're not saved. You're doing all those things to glorify your flesh so that somebody will pat you on the back. That is a form of godliness. A form of godliness is a profession, a religious profession, that does not have the power of the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's people that are not saved. Now, verse 6 goes on to say, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts," and listen at this, "ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And we have a church is full of men in pulpits that have a head knowledge that is beyond belief. They know everything about the Bible, but they don't know the Savior of the Bible. They can sit up and talk about the Word of God, but they it's not in them. Their profession is not real. They have learned a lot. And by the way, most of our Bible correctors today that will advocate anything but the King James Bible are in that class of pastors and preachers. If you'll stand up in a pulpit and correct the Word of God, or if you'll use any other version other than King James Bible, you're already in trouble. You're not using the Word of God when you use another version of the Bible. But you've learned a lot of things. You've learned how to correct the Bible from the pulpit. And I'm here to tell you, that's wicked. It's straight out of the pits of hell is what it is. If you'll stand before your people and correct the Word of God. Verse 8 says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds," listen at this, "reprobate concerning the faith." In other words, they're not saved. Another emphasis on salvation. "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Those are the marks of a person that's a Christian. You're going to suffer some persecution if you're a Christian. And you're going to see those. Your doctrine is going to be straight if you're a Christian. Your manner of life is going to honor and glorify God. There's a whole list of things in there. And verse 12 says it all in this particular scripture. "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in these things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." You're saved by the Word of God, by the way. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a reminder for us. Verse 16 there says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." That's what the Word of God will do. It will furnish you unto all good works. And finally in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Listen at this. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables." Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that that's where we are now. We have been turned into fables. We're teaching anything but the Word of God. And I want you to remind you that we're to stand for the truth. Now, next week I'm going to give you some more information on what the Bible has to say about the man of God and the way he's to handle himself. Thank you for joining us today, and God bless you.